Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We are at a state of war with God naturally. And the reason everybody chafes at the name of Jesus is because that's the name above every name. That's the name that matters. People are bothered by Jesus because it's the sin in man that rebels against even the very name of Jesus Christ.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on John chapter 15, verse 18 through chapter 16, verse 33, in a message titled, Be of Good Cheer. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Chapter 15, verse 18. John's Gospel. Remember, we are right in the midst of this intimate conversation that Jesus is having with his apostles, his closest associates, those 11 men that are with him and have been with him, and of course he's going to ultimately be sending them out into the world to spread the gospel. But he's sharing now these deep and these intimate things with them in preparation for something that they haven't totally realized, and that is his departure, that he is going to leave. They hadn't really fully grasped the messianic mission, and they didn't really understand at this point that the kingdom was not going to be established like they had anticipated that it would be. And so Jesus he's sort of breaking the news to them. He's letting them know that things are going to be different than they had actually thought. And so here, as we pick up in the midst of the conversation, he says to them, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So again, he's preparing them. He's letting them know right up front that they're going to have difficulty. They're going to experience opposition, and they're actually going to be hated. Now, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You know, this is one of the most mind-boggling things of all, is to figure out just how it is that there could be hatred for Jesus Christ and such hatred for him. If you just look at the life of Jesus, you just, you know, read through the Gospels, and that, of course, is, that's the only history we've got. That's the only detailed account of his life that we know of or that exist. There's other little things here and there from different writers and historians and, you know, people back in that time, but this is, of course, the authoritative record on his life. And as you read through it, what is the picture that emerges? It's the picture of a man who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's pretty much the way Peter summed it up. That's the picture. Jesus just simply went about doing good. He went about blessing people. He went about healing people, raising people from the dead, feeding hungry people, ministering to poor people. All of the things that you would think that people would just love him for. People ought to love him for. But the fact of the matter is, those in his own generation hated him, and he has been hated in every generation since by many, by multitudes. And, of course, there's a great hostility to Jesus Christ to this very day. And you see so often people just expressing vehemently their animosity toward him. And, you know, sort of the ironic thing is, if you were to really try to, you know, get at what the problem is with so many people, they probably couldn't even tell you. You know, if you heard somebody just blaspheming the Lord Jesus and you went up and said, you know, why are you doing that? Just, you know, let's talk. What's your problem with Jesus Christ? You know, most of them probably couldn't even tell you what the problem is. But there's just this, I don't know what it is. You know, you think of how things are in our culture today. You know, it's absolutely astounding. And this is a fact. You could go into any public setting. You can go to into a classroom. You can go to a party. You could go into the workplace. You know, you go any place like that publicly, and you can talk about pretty much anything these days, religious or non-religious. You know, if you wanted to go in, let's say this week you wanted to go in and you just decided, maybe just as an experiment, you're going to go into the office and you're going to talk about Buddhism. You're going to talk about the Dalai Lama. You're going to talk about, you know, all of the virtues of Buddhism and all of that. There probably wouldn't be a single person that would have any kind of a problem with that whatsoever. Yeah, a few people might think, wow, what's going on with that person? That, you know, that's kind of weird. They're all of a sudden they're getting spiritual or something like that. But there wouldn't be any real antagonism toward that. You could talk about pretty much anything. You could actually just make up your own religion and go share with people about it. And again, they might think you're a little kooky, but there wouldn't be any real antagonism or, you know, real hostility against you. But you know, it's a fact. If you were to go in this week and you're just going to talk about Jesus, you're going to talk about his love, you're going to talk about his goodness, you're going to talk about the fact that he died on the cross for our sins and he rose from the dead, you're going to talk about the fact that he's coming back and people need to accept him in order to be saved, well, you'd probably get fired. That's where it would start. But there'd be a lot of threats, you know, leading up to it, and, you know, people would just, they would get downright hostile to that. Why is that? Well, this is why. Because Jesus is the true and the living God, and we as human beings are sinners, and our sin nature rebels against God. You know, the scriptures tell us that naturally we are at enmity with God. We are at a state of war with God naturally. And the reason everybody chafes at the name of Jesus is because that's the name above every name. That's the name that matters. People are bothered by Jesus because it's the sin in man that rebels against even the very name of Jesus Christ. The world, Jesus said, will hate you. But no, they hated me before they hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you were not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, it's kind of a, it's just a human characteristic, really, to, you know, be suspicious of people who you might consider to be outsiders or something like that. You know, human history, even the world today, if you look around, people are divided up and, you know, it's this group against that group and that group against this group. And we don't like those people because they are of a different nationality and we don't like them over there because their culture is different than ours. And, you know, we don't like those people over there because their skin color is different than ours is. And this is the way the world is. And this is the way the world has always been. And so man has this tendency to sort of isolate himself or his group from everybody else and, you know, have that suspicion and that sort of thing. Now, the ultimate example of that is with the Christian and the world. Because Jesus said, you're not of this world. And that, again, that's the thing that creates the rub. That's the thing that creates the problem. It's like, you know, you just sort of get the feeling like, wait a second, you know, these people aren't, they're not with us. You know, they're not for us. They're not supporting what we're doing. And it's because we're not of this world. And this is going to be the response of many. Now, not the response of everyone, because Jesus is going to go on to acknowledge that there are going to be some that are going to receive his word, and then they'll receive our word likewise. But it is the case with many. And this is something that we all need to remember and realize and know right up front. If you're concerned about being popular, if you have this great need to be accepted, if you want everybody to like you and say nice things about you, you will not survive as a Christian. Because that will not happen if you're genuinely a believer, if you're truly following the Lord. There are going to be people that simply dislike you because of your faith, because you're not of this world. You're not part of this system that they are all part of, and they sense that you're not part of this system. And it, again, it's that same sort of thing as with the name of Jesus. There's this rub, there's this irritation that it creates. I remember hearing a long time ago about a celebrity who spent a day golfing with Billy Graham. And afterward, somebody asked him how it was. He said, oh, it was miserable. Oh, God, just hated being with that guy out there. And, oh, you know, holier than thou, and, you know, just, you know, all of that. And so the person said, well, what did he say to you? The guy said, oh, he didn't say anything. He didn't say a word. It's just his very presence. It was the presence of Christ in him. And here's a man in sin. And again, that it's that presence of Christ. Jesus said it earlier. We talked about it quite a while back. Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. You see, that's really the issue right there. Jesus is the one that gets under everybody's skin because Jesus is the one who says, what you're doing is wrong. Your deeds are evil. Your lifestyle is unacceptable. Your good deeds are worthless. Oh, that's the one that really gets people, you know. I mean, you know, some people can handle that. Yeah, I understand, you know, my life's a mess and this is bad and all that. But you tell a, you know, a self-righteous person, somebody who thinks they're good enough, that I'm sorry, your righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. And man, that gets people mad. But that's what Jesus represents to people. And it's the Spirit of God, really, that's causing that kind of thing to occur. But again, here Jesus says, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you were of the world would love its own. You know, you look at some of the different religious systems and things that have arisen, and you look at the numbers of people that join up for this, and you also look at the general acceptance of the world. And here's the explanation. The world accepts it because it originates in the world. It's part of the system. And so they embrace it. And man, blinded by sin and under the deception of the devil, he just buys anything that comes along for the most part. Remember the word that I said, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Now, of course, here the context, going back to the original statements, the context is, it's a Jewish context, you know. And the astounding thing is that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He's come to actually save the Jewish people, but they are the ones who hated him. And that, again, is another one of those great mysteries of iniquity. But he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. So the very fact that Jesus came and all that he said and all that he did, it actually added to their culpability. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. That is so heavy, because remember, Jesus is talking about the men who are the religious leaders of the nation. He's talking about the men who everybody looks up to, thinking these, they're our leaders. They're our teachers. They're the ones that we're supposed to follow. They're the disciples of Moses. They're the ones that know God. And Jesus said, those are the ones that actually hate me. And not only do they hate me, but they hate my Father. The very religious leaders were actually God haters. That's a frightening prospect, isn't it? To have those that are supposed to be leading, the reality is they're leading the opposition against God. But that was the case. They were filled with hatred for the very God they claimed to be serving and following. And their hatred was evidenced in their hatred for the Son and their rejection of the Son. And again, we see this very thing today. There are those who are in positions of spiritual leadership and authority, and masses of people are looking to them for leadership and thinking, these are our leaders, and these people love God, and we need to listen to what they say, and they're following God, so we're going to follow them. You better stop and check and make sure they are following God. Make sure they do love God. Because this is how people are led astray. By not looking at the situation themselves. You know, so many people have been and are still today, they are very content to have somebody else do their religion for them. You know, when I was growing up and grew up in Roman Catholicism, you know, we were all happy to let the priest do the religious thing for us. That was their job. They took care of all that. We just get the benefit in the end. We're going to make it to heaven because they're working hard over at the church to make sure that that happens for us. And, you know, we were really trusting our souls with somebody else. But that was the mistake, because the Bible teaches that every person individually is accountable to God. And that every person needs to go personally and individually and directly to God through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. And I've got to make sure that I'm right with God myself. I can't expect somebody else to do it for me. I can't depend on somebody else to do it for me. The fact of the matter is, nobody can do it for me. It's a personal transaction between myself and God through the one mediator, his Son, Jesus. Jesus went on to say, but this happened, this hatred of me, it happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their own law, they hated me without a cause. This was a fulfillment of prophecy. And this is a quotation from Psalm 69. They hated me without a cause. And that's, again, the story today. The hatred for Jesus Christ today, it's without a cause. There's no justifiable cause. There's no valid reason for the hostility that anyone expresses or feels toward Jesus Christ. It's rooted in the sin issue, like I said earlier. But when the Helper comes, now here we are once again, Jesus brings us back to the Holy Spirit. And remember that throughout this portion, part of the instruction that Jesus is giving has to do with the Holy Spirit. He's already talked about the fact that the Spirit is going to come. He's going to, remember, he said back in chapter 14, the Spirit is with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. And now here once again, the Helper, when he comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So this is the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to testify to Jesus. And of course, through the apostles, a lot of that testimony was through the miraculous power. And those miraculous things that they did as they went out and preached the gospel, those things were a testimony to Jesus. They were preaching in the name of Jesus, and people were being touched miraculously in the name of Jesus. And so everything was pointing back to his Messiahship. And so he reminds them that that will happen when the Helper comes. But notice he refers to him as the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. The Spirit of truth. When the Holy Spirit is working, truth is prevailing. Wherever there's deceit, wherever there's falsehood, wherever there's false doctrine, then you can know this. The Holy Spirit is not active. The Holy Spirit isn't present working in that kind of a situation, because he is, by very definition, he is the Spirit of truth, testifying of Jesus. But then he said to them, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So he's telling them about what's coming in the future. Now remember, at this point, they're still not really sure about what the future does hold. And he's bringing them now to that place where he's going to just put it forth in very plain language to them, the fact that he is going away. He says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. So Jesus is warning them in advance of the things that will happen. They're going to be put out of the synagogues, which is exactly what happened to them.
And now let's join Pastor Brian in the studio as he shares about this month's resource. Pastor Brian, Back to Basics is offering a book by J. Vernon McGee titled Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's easy to read and understand, and the chapters are fantastic. What is doctrine? A chapter on the Bible and inspiration, a chapter on the doctrine of origins, which is such an important doctrine, you know, where we came from, creation and so forth, the nature of man, salvation. So it's you know, in just that down-home way, it is an excellent way for people to get a grip on just kind of what are the essential doctrines of the Christian faith.
Thanks, Pastor Brian, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order the book Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you J. Vernon McGee's book on Doctrine for Difficult Days. It's our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.